Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey Southeast Chapter of Score, here is your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. When you run a small business, you wear many different hats, from bookkeeping to marketing to developing your product or service offerings. That makes entrepreneurs and small business owners very busy. While it's not always easy to find time to complete additional tasks, small business owners should take the time to determine their business's value regularly. It's essential that your business is ready for a potential sale. Even if you don't want to sell your business, knowing its worth is a good idea. But determining your business's worth is easier said than done. There's no one perfect way to determine a business's value. First, let's define what is a business valuation. A business valuation is the process of determining a business's economic value. Analysts will use factors like company leadership, the current market value of a company's assets, and future earnings to determine valuation. It's a good idea to perform a business evaluation regularly. It can help you identify ways to improve your company, but a business evaluation can also be used in exit strategy planning when you're preparing to sell a business or if you're looking for funding. Raising a new round of funding, applying for small business loans, transferring ownership, every financing event in your small business's lifetime requires some way of estimating the company's value. Wherever you are in your business life cycle, you'll want to know how to value a small business sooner rather than later. Feeling confident in your appraisal will help you accurately determine how to pitch investors and raise funding, or price your business to find the right buyer. What's the benefit of knowing your business's values? A business's value is incredibly important information if an owner is thinking about selling it. Trying to successfully negotiate a deal without a prior understanding of what your business is worth puts you in a position to lose money. Many small business owners neglect to calculate their business's value, but you can easily remedy this omission. If you're putting countless hours into your business, speak to a business appraiser or business advisor. They can help you determine what your business is worth. A business valuation can help you plan your future as you prepare for retirement. Here's what Justin Goodbread, owner and CEO of Financially Simple, a financial advisory firm, says. Many business owners expect the income they make from the future sale of their business to fund their retirement. Yet, most do not have a formal valuation done on their company until they are ready to sell it. Many are then shocked to learn they haven't created enough value within their business to reach their retirement goals. If you wait to assess your business's value until you want to retire or have to retire, you have no time to increase the value of your company, Goodbread explained. You will only get what you get. Whereas, if you know the business's value ahead of time, you can work with professional advisors to increase the value of your capital, your cash flow, your tangible assets, and your intangible assets, which then will increase the value of your business. Conducting a valuation is an excellent opportunity to assess the financial health and potential of your business or of a business you're hoping to buy. Along with doing financial legwork, valuing your business also requires you to exercise control over any emotions, particularly if this is your first company. If you run a family-owned and operated business, take care to approach valuation as objectively as possible to come to an accurate number. What are the different methods of determining valuation? Well, there are three main strategies most investors use to determine valuation: comparable analysis, precedent transactions analysis, and discounted cash flow analysis. Comparable analysis. This valuation method measures a business's current value by looking at the metrics of other businesses in its industry. Comparable analysis is a relative form of valuation and looks at company size, share price, market capitalization, and earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, what is referred to as EBITDA. Precedent transactions analysis. Precedent transactions analysis is also a relative valuation form. It compares the business to other companies in its industry that were recently sold. However, the value can easily become outdated as time passes. discounted flow analysis. Unlike the other two valuation methods, discounted flow analysis, or DCF, is an intrinsic valuation form. DCF analysis measures a business's value based on its expected future cash flow. What factors should you be aware of when placing a value on your business? In addition to using specific formulas to calculate your business value, it's important to be well-versed in a few key business areas. Tangible assets. Tangible assets include machinery, property, and inventory. It's easy to calculate the value of tangible assets. Intangible assets. Intangible assets include brand recognition, trademarks, and patents. These assets can add tremendous value to a business, and you should have some idea of the monetary value of your intangible assets. Liabilities. Business liabilities, including any debts your business owes, factor into its evaluation. Financial metrics. Is your business profitable? If so, what's your annual profit? How much revenue does your business bring in? Know your financial statements inside and out, as potential investors or buyers will want to know about your financials. Understanding your business assets is an added benefit of going through a business valuation. By looking at tangible and intangible assets, you learn what makes your business valuable and just how valuable those assets are. Even if you don't sell your business, knowing your business's worth can provide additional insights into future business decisions. For example, do you have a lot of money tied up in inventory? This insight may change the way you handle inventory procedures moving forward. Here's a tip for you. If your valuation reveals that your brand recognition isn't worth much, focus on future marketing campaigns to design and build a powerful business brand. How would you calculate your business's value? Your business's value depends on various factors, including its size, your team, your expected growth, and a plethora of other elements. A few formulas are used regularly to calculate a business's value. Exact formulas vary by company, and business valuation is far from a precise science. Unfortunately, if we have 10 different people in a room trying to determine a price for our business, we will more than likely receive 11 different answers. So said David Creech, former owner of the business brokerage and consulting firm DVAR Business Group. However, there are different ways to value a small business, and the appropriate method can depend on the size of the business and the purpose of the valuation. Understanding the common methods and why the outcomes will differ can be important for small business owners or corporate executives alike. There are several methods for valuing a small business based on its balance sheet, earnings, projections about the future, and recent sales of similar businesses. Each method has its pros and cons and can be used in different circumstances. Here's a quick look at five popular valuation methods. Adjusted net asset method. An asset-based valuation can be fairly straightforward if your balance sheet is in order, as it largely mirrors what the balance sheet shows. First, add up the value of the business assets and subtract its liabilities to get the starting value. Then, to get a more realistic valuation, you may want to put more thought into the numbers. The adjusted net asset method requires you to use your knowledge of the business and current markets to adjust the value of assets and liabilities. As an example, you may have accounts receivable that are assets on your books, but you know you won't likely collect the full amount. You should adjust your assets down to reflect real-world values. The adjusted net asset method can be useful if you're valuing a company that doesn't have a lot of earnings or is losing money. It's also a common valuation method for holding companies that own parts of other companies or real estate investments. If you're considering selling your business, you may also want to perform this valuation to set a floor price. Capitalization of cash flow method. The capitalization of cash flow, or CCF method, is the simpler of the two main income-based methods that you may want to consider when valuing a company that generates income. To calculate the business's value using the CCF method, you will divide the cash flow from a specific period by a capitalization rate. You'll want to use one period's worth of sustainable and recurring cash flow from the business. you may need to make adjustments if there were recent one-time expenses or income events that you don't want to include in the results. The capitalization rate, or cap rate, is the business's expected rate of return. This is the rate of return a buyer could expect to earn, not including their salary, if they purchase the business. It's often around 20 to 25% for small businesses. The simplicity of the CCF method can also impact its predictiveness. However, the CCF method can be a worthwhile valuation method if you're looking at a mature and stable company that's unlikely to see big swings in its cash flow. Discounted cash flow method. The discounted cash flow method, or DCF, is another income-based method. It uses the business's projected future cash flow and the time value of money to determine the current value. While the CCF is best used with companies that have steady cash flows, the DCF is best for companies that are expected to significantly grow or shrink in the coming years. The time value of money is the idea that money is worth more today than it is in the future. For example, if you have $1,000 today, you can invest the money, earn interest, and have more than $1,000 in 5 years. A discounted cash flow model takes this into account, which is why it can be also helpful if you're trying to compare different investment opportunities. While the calculations can be a little complex, you can find online business valuation calculators that can help. But you'll still need to figure out which numbers to plug into the calculator. A business's cash flow statement is a good place to start and projected cash flows if they've already been created. Additionally, you'll need to know the discount rate or weighted average cost of calculation, WACC, which can require more complicated calculations. Think of the WACC as the rate businesses need to pay to finance its working capital and long-term debts. You'll also need to decide how many years' worth of cash flows you want to include. You could base your answer on how confident you are about the future cash flow projections and use the same number of years if you're trying to compare discounted cash flows for multiple investments. The market-based valuation method. A market-based valuation depends less on the specific business than the current market conditions. With the market-based valuation method, the business's current market value is determined by comparing the recent sales prices of similar companies. Finding relative comps may be difficult if you have a small business, but you may still want to look for at least a few comps if you're planning on buying or selling a business. If you're hiring an appraiser, they may also have access to databases with relevant findings. Even if the comps aren't physically located nearby, an appraiser may find similar-sized businesses in the same industry. They can then make adjustments based on the area. You can also use the results in combination with other valuation methods to determine a business's value. Seller's discretionary earnings method. The previous four valuation methods I talked about can be used for small businesses and large publicly traded companies alike. However, the seller's discretionary earnings, SDE method, is solely used for small business valuation. Before diving into this formula, it's crucial to define seller's discretionary earnings, SDE, and earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, EBITDA. EBITDA is essentially the pure net profit of a business. Seller's discretionary earnings refers to a business's net income prior to deducting the owner's salary. Other discretionary non-operating expenses are added back in for the calculation. Calculation for EBITDA is clear-cut, as the name describes what goes into the calculation. Generally, SDE is used to calculate the value of small businesses, while EBITDA is used for larger businesses. Some sources use gross annual sales of $1 million as the benchmark for the difference between a small business and larger businesses. But there's no set rule for when you should use SDE or EBITDA. There's a different SDE multiple for every industry. Your particular business's SDE multiple will vary based on market volatility, where your business is located, your company's size, assets, and how much risk is involved in transferring ownership. The higher your SDE multiple, as you might expect, the more your business is worth. Industry-specific multiples apply to both the SDE method of calculating a business value and the EBITDA method. These multiples vary by industry and are based on industry trends and history. To find an accurate multiple for your industry, search online and use the advice of a site like Valuation Academy. You can also speak with a qualified business appraiser, which may lead to a more thorough examination of which multiple makes sense for your business. If you're planning on selling or buying a small business, the SDE method might be best. It can help the buyer understand how much income they can expect to earn each year from the business. To calculate the SDE, you need to determine how much cash it takes to run the business. You can start with the business's earnings before interest and taxes, EBIT, or for a more thorough view, the business's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or EBITDA, which you can determine from the financial statements. Then add back the owner's compensation because the new owner can choose a different salary and the benefits such as health insurance. Also, add back in non-essential, non-recurring, and non-related business expenses. These could include travel, one-time consulting fees, and business use of a personal vehicle. Because the SDE is often used when a small business is sold, it's not uncommon for there to be debates about some of the numbers. These can especially arise around the expenses that get added back to determine the value. As an example, a seller might want to call a search engine optimization project a one-time expense and add that portion back into the earnings to increase the valuation. However, the buyer might consider this to be an ongoing project that needs to be revisited and paid for each year. They'll need to come to an agreement before a sale can move forward. If you're calculating your business's value just for informational purposes, try using a few different methods to get an idea of how different investors and buyers might value your organization. The process for determining the value of a small business is complicated, so you might want to consider consulting a professional business broker or accountant that specializes in valuation rather than going it alone. However, you're fully capable of valuing your business using your own resources. First, though, you have to get your financial information in order. Before even thinking about how to value a small business for sale, both sellers and buyers should organize their financial records. That's crucial for accurate calculations. And beyond conducting your valuation, you'll need your finances in order to transfer business ownership regardless. Sellers will need to have the following documentation in order to ensure a smooth valuation process. Licenses, deeds, and any proprietary documents. Profit and loss statements for the last 3 years. Tax filings and returns. Short overview of your business or personal finances. A quick note on those tax returns. Remember that many purchases you reported as business expenses to the IRS, like the cost of travel expenses, a personal vehicle, and many other non-essential, non-recurring purchases, should be added back to your earnings when calculating your SDE. Buyers obviously won't need all of these documents, but they should still review their own financials. It's likely that any sellers you're working with will want to see your credit report and basic financial profile. Establishing a firm financial foundation will help you maintain realistic expectations about the value of your company or the company you're hoping to buy. The more thorough you are in this step of the valuation process, the more confident you'll be in your calculations. You might think that you can't actually distill the value of your entire business to an exact number. And sure, in a way, it's a bit of an estimate. But as a seller, you have to put some number on your operation, especially if you want to be compensated for what you've built, taking into account all kinds of equity. The best angle is to make a list of the production, property, and resources that comprise your business, assets and liabilities, cash and investments, employees and intellectual property. Later, too, you can use this list to create an overview of a company's value for potential buyers. This is another opportunity to seek the counsel of a mentor or a professional advisor who can provide insight into your business assets with a more objective perspective. Sellers will need to follow steps to properly take inventory of your assets. First, make a detailed report of your business assets and liabilities. Here, business assets include anything that adds value to your company. This means intellectual property, your production line, your delivery truck. If it's part of your business, you'll either need to account for it as an asset or a liability. There are two asset categories, and they're weighted differently when calculating a business's value. The tangible assets. When you think about valuing a small business, the most obvious factors in determining value are the company's material resources and holdings. Some examples include real estate or property, equipment or means of production, inventory or stock, cash on hand. Intangible assets. These are all the non-material items that add value to your business. Intangible assets are crucial to your SDE multiple, so it's important to identify and record their estimated value. These could include patents, copyrights and trademarks, other intellectual property, brand and reputation, customer loyalty or subscriber base. You'll also need to know your liabilities. Liabilities include any debt or outstanding credit on your business's books. They detract from the overall value of a business. That's why this number is subtracted from SDE in valuation calculations. Often, sellers keep their business liabilities and pay off their debts after the business is sold. Liabilities that will factor into your calculation include notes payable, accounts payable, business loans, accrued expenses, other debts or payables, as well as unearned income. Next, you'll need to outline your business plan and model. If you're selling, your prospective buyer will need to understand how you generate revenue and will continue to do so. A strong business plan helps you make accurate projections for earnings and market growth. Plus, it's crucial to demonstrate to potential buyers how your business will continue to grow and turn a profit. Overall, a strong business plan provides buyers with important context about your company, like your location and mission, and captures what key services or goods you offer. Your business model demonstrates how you make money, be it a subscription-based service, direct-to-consumer e-commerce, or B2B consulting. A valuation is a suggestion of value, but your business model shows potential buyers how they will actually reach their customer base to generate revenue if they purchase your company. But buyers aren't exempt from this step in the process. If you're considering acquiring a business, composing a list of your target's assets and liabilities will ground your decision in sound financial judgment and make sure you and your seller are on the same page with valuation. You should also look for business plans that clearly outline processes and, ideally, demonstrate consistent management. A well-run business will make transitioning ownership without losing profits in the process significantly easier. You're probably asking yourself, how can I value my business at different stages in its growth? It's easier to determine the value of a business that's been around for 30 years than it is to value a startup. A newer company is dealing with startup costs and has fewer years of financial statements, and it's hard to know how large the brand may become. A 30-year-old business, on the other hand, has years of financials and an established brand that can be easier to value. This makes calculating the value of your business at different stages of its growth cycle difficult. With challenges like this, you can utilize a few different methods and project numbers to get the general estimate of your business's worth. The best solution is to speak with someone experienced about calculating business worth. If you aren't aware of your business's value, you may struggle in negotiations with potential buyers. If someone offers to buy your business out of the blue, it's good to know if that offer is consistent with market value. Speaking with a professional business appraiser makes it easier to check your business's worth during different growth stages, preparing you for a potential sale of your business. While speaking with an expert can be costly, the strategic insights you glean may be worth the price. You might spend a great deal on a valuation, but if that valuation increases your value by more than what you spent, do you really care? How often should you calculate your business value? Calculating business value for informational purposes can be done in a few ways. You can use a few formulas and create estimates for your value, or you can speak to a business appraiser. Assuming you aren't expecting to sell your business in the immediate future, it's not necessary to bring in a business appraiser. Bringing in a business appraiser would make for a more accurate valuation, but the additional detail might not be worth the cost. Until you're ready to sell or do a buyback from your partners, knowing the value of your business is simply a feel-good exercise, but one that can serve as a reference point moving forward. If you just want an idea of what your business is worth, an annual valuation is appropriate. Others may suggest an annual valuation done by your own calculations and speaking with an appraiser every couple of years. It depends largely on your business needs and when you expect to be in the market to sell your business. Wherever you are in your business cycle, it's a good idea to know your business's worth. Value is often in the eye of the beholder, so value can be subjective, based on personal opinions. And, as I pointed out, there are a few different ways to come up with valuations. Each has merit, but each has its faults. This means there's no perfect method for determining the value of a business. Whichever method you use, update your calculations annually and speak to a professional appraiser for the most accurate valuation possible. Even if you're not planning on selling your business or applying for financing, regularly performing a quick and dirty business valuation can help you track your progress over time. Taking a deeper dive into the valuation may help you uncover opportunities for growth. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a question or comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit southeastnj.score.org. southeastnj.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.